Well, we know it's been wet and wild and crazy out there, but the sun's out today. It's going to rain again tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen next. I do know one thing. Rain or shine, sleet, snow, hail, if they've got power, there's one place in Chico that has shelter, food, water, beer, wine, and happy hour. That's the Handlebar.
Yeah, they're located at 2070 East 20th Street on the south end of town here in Chico. They've been longtime advertisers here on our show. We stand by them. I was there within the past week.
We'll always be there within the next week.
It's a great beer selection. Yeah, like you said, they've got a beautiful indoor, beautiful outdoor situation. Regardless of what the weather's doing, you can count on great beers, especially during their happy hour. Like you said, Johnny, 7 days a week, 2 to 6 p.m., a dollar off any of those draft beers. Again, that's the Handlebar, 2070 East 20th Street. Go check them out, and here's our show.
Why don't we begin?
This is Fresh Hop Cinema.
Hey, welcome to Fresh Hop Cinema, podcast, radio show, YouTube channel, extravaganza about craft beer movies. I am Max Minardi.
I'm Johnny Summers. Hello, fellow humans.
This week on the show, we're covering Roadhouse, the 2024 version. It's a remake of the 1989 film of the same name. In the place of Patrick Swayze is Jake Gyllenhaal, an ex-UFC fighter named Elwood Dalton, who's been hired as a bouncer at a bar in Florida. But before we give you our thoughts on that, here are the beers we are drinking this week from Johnny Summers' mouth himself.
Yeah, well, you're not drinking it from my mouth. We could.
Phrasing. You're
right. Could.
I'd rather not.
Okay. Baby Bird? No. Two beers from TF Brewing out of Salt Lake City, Utah. Friend of the show brought these back.
Shout out to Brian.
Brian Gonzalez. Thanks, dude. The first beer is called Granary. It's a Keller beer. It's 4.7%. Second beer is called Squirrel. It is a juicy IPA, and it's 6.5%.
All right. If you are listening on KZFR 90.1 FM, we hope you're having a terrific Saturday afternoon. On the radio version of our show today, you'll be hearing, I'd say, the majority of our episode, which will eventually include spoilers for Roadhouse. If you haven't seen it yet, it's streaming on Amazon Prime, and you don't want it spoiled. I'd encourage you to go watch the movie and then come back and finish up our conversation today in podcast form. That version of the show includes the always unpredictable Hot and Bothered segment, which is exclusive to our podcast listeners. It's how we end the show each week, catching up with each other on things like audiobooks we've been listening to, or series we've been streaming, or just what we've been up to this weekend. It's anybody's guess, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a wild and crazy time. To find the episodes in its entirety, just go search for Fresh Hop Cinema on Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or any other major podcast platform. We've released new episodes every Friday since 2016, which means since you're hearing this on a Saturday on the radio, it's available to all of you listening on KZFR right now. If you like the show, go take 5 seconds out of your busy day and leave us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts, and definitely let us know you did that because we appreciate it. You're going to want to text us. You can do that. Or if you want to brag about some beers,
yeah,
or your 5-star review,
sure.
You want to text us. It's 530-433-0839. Again, the number for the show is 530-433-0839. To hang out with us on social media, you're just going to search Fresh Hop Cinema on Instagram, Facebook, Letterboxd, or Untappd, or just head over to the old-fashioned website, freshhopcinema.com.
Yeah, you can also go to our Patreon, which is a way to keep our show running for as little as $1 a week. You can give us your hard-earned cash, and we will put on fun events. We have a bar hang in April that we haven't picked a date on yet, but we have one every month for the most part, and we all get together. We just had one, so shout out to everybody that came to the Handlebar. What day was that?
Last Friday.
It was a Friday night. That's why it was weird to me.
We tried a silly, expensive beer. That was so much fun.
Can we recap that beer really quick? Like, what was it called again? Oh boy.
Descent?
Sure. From Anchorage. It was a beer from Anchorage. We picked it up at S&S. I feel weird bragging about it because it's like kind of the people that paid us. People that give us money is we bought that beer with that money, but then we shared it with the people who were there at our event. So in a way, by giving us your money, you're just letting us hold on to it for a month or two, and then we give it back to you.
In the form of a beer. Yeah.
Anyways, that was a super fun bar hang. And we also have bonus episodes that we do, and you get access to that and our events and all sorts of fun stuff just by going to patreon.com/freshhopcinema. Anything else on Patreon that I'm missing?
Happy birthday.
Who do we have this week?
Ken.
Ken Neely. Happy birthday, Ken.
Happy birthday.
Ken's a longtime listener. Mm-hmm. I would say confidently one of our more avid listeners. Mm-hmm. Always appreciate getting feedback from you, Ken. Hope you're having a lovely birthday. This comes out
on your birthday.
This will be dropping on your birthday. Yeah. So happy birthday on the 29th.
It's our gift to you.
Sure. Yeah. Thank you for paying for your own gift.
Because I'm not getting you anything else.
Okay. With that said, that's patreon.com/freshhopcinema. Check it out if you want to be part of the cool crew.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny, tell me about this brewery.
Bet you're wondering what TF stands for.
Yeah, that was my first question.
Yeah, it's Templin Family Brewing. The first beer we poured in the brewery, it was in October 2018, after years of hard work put in by the Templin family and friends. Since then, the family has doubled in size, but our mission has stayed the same. We are deeply rooted in a reverence for the German way of making beer, brewing with fresh, high-quality ingredients, slow pours, and big foam.
Well, we've already poured it wrong then.
Yeah.
We poured it excitedly.
Well, and cans aren't super meant to be slow poured. You can, but they're not ideal.
Yeah. Okay, what's beer one?
So beer one, Granary. It is a Keller beer or an unfiltered German-style Pilsner that's 4.7%. The hops in this boy.
Just all of the spell checks came on when you wrote this. What are they?
The hops are German Tettenang and Holler II Mittelfrau. This is actually their most decorated beer. I'm not going to go through the whole list, but there is a bunch. Most recently, it was in the best 20 beers of 2023 in the Craft Beer and Brewing Magazine and received a 99 out of 100 rating from Craft Beer and Brewing Magazine. Granary is the district where their brewery is located. This unfiltered German-style Pilsner is hands down a taproom favorite, naturally carbonated, slightly cloudy appearance, crisp, and dry.
There's 9 awards here.
Yeah.
And there's 9 awards spanning back to 2019, which by my math means the second year they were brewing beer.
Mm-hmm.
They were on the map.
Yes.
Which I think is very fun.
Yeah.
You've had your first sip. Clearly we are a little bit biased from obviously the awards listed, but then also they're like, hey, this is a favorite in our tap room. So any chance, Johnny Summers, they are wrong and it's gross?
No, it's definitely not gross. It's very pleasant. I really love German style beers in general. This one is very nicely hopped, but it's still got that refreshing, easy drinking lightness of that style. I really like the hop presence. I love the dryness on the finish. It's nice and earthy. Mm-hmm. It's very pleasant. I could see drinking a liter of this.
I could see that as well. It does seem to be this. I mean, that's what the style calls for a lot of the time. It's for larger pours.
And Stein.
I had a beer out of a Stein the other night, by the way.
Nice.
I'll tell you that. Maybe I'll tell you that in Hot and Bothered. This is super good. I like it. I agree. It's super, super dry on the finish. It's really light. There's some spiciness, which I would expect in a German Pilsner.
Mm-hmm.
Off the blocks, digging it. Not fully blown away necessarily. It's really solid. There's no flavors that are unfamiliar to me necessarily. It's not breaking new ground, but it's really good.
Yeah. I mean, it's an old style that's done really well here. I mean, terrific execution. There's really no flaws with it. I mean, with this style of beer, like we've said a bunch of times, there's nothing to hide behind. So it's right there in your face and it's good. I like the hop presence. I think that's probably the most remarkable thing about it is that it's just so punchy on that
yes.
Hop.
Do you have any flavors jumping out that you do not like?
It's a little bready. And that's just
with a bread, like bread.
D.
Like
D. Yeah.
Thank you.
And probably just that malt profile. And I think that's stylistically accurate, but it's not necessarily my favorite.
Yeah. I that's totally fair. I'm not sure that there's anything wrong with it.
Yeah. No, there's not. And that's a total nit to pick, you know,
for sure.
That's just a little,
that's our job here. We gotta be picking some nits. As you're trying it again, I'm going to hold it up sort of for my camera here. And then for anybody who's listening to us in podcast form, nothing surprising about the way it looks, I don't think. It's maybe a little bit paler than I would have expected, just slightly. But I mean, it's pretty straightforward. It's really, really bubbly. Still, we've poured these into our little 5-ounce glasses, and I've got maybe 3 ounces in it, and it is still actively bubbling from the bottom and is showing no signs of slowing down there. I also just realized I'm giving a visual shout out here to our friends over at Slice.
Yeah, they make cute glasses.
These are super cute glasses.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to try it one more time just to kind of search for anything wrong, but I'd love to get your final thoughts here unless you have anything that you think we haven't touched on that we need to.
No, I think it's super stylistically accurate, fundamentally sound, well-made. I think it's a fantastic introduction to a brewery. I mean, this is what I would walk in and order. You know, I like going to breweries I've never been to and be like, what's the most popular beer in the tap room? And then if it's like a Scotch ale or something, I'm like, cool, give me your Pilsner.
Do you ever think you just do like the opposite? Like, give me your best and your worst. and just see like see
I've the, done that before. But like, what's your favorite on the board? What's your least favorite on the board?
I feel like that comes down like I almost think you should be like, what is everybody's favorite and everybody like why what is the beer that you personally don't understand why your brewers keep making? Like yeah. They'd be like, oh, I can't really say that, but right? I'm sure there is one. Like I think every brewery, and certainly every person who pours beers at a brewery is like, this is gross. I don't know why we even have this, but people keep buying it.
There's always a dog, man. There always has to be. But it's always fun, like, asking somebody at a brewery what their, mm-hmm. you know, what's the most popular? What's your number one seller? And then if it's stylistically something that I find interesting, I will order it. And so this is what I would order. And if this was my first introduction to this brewery in their tap room or in a can in person, I'd be very impressed. I think it's really well made.
It's worth noting, and maybe we'll continue this conversation around the second beer. But like you mentioned, this is from Utah. Mm-hmm. If you've never been to Utah, the alcohol laws are a little bit different. It's almost like it's a different country entirely.
They're wild.
I've played in Utah once, maybe twice over the years, and I've played at a bar that I recall was one of the times. And at the time, the only beers on draft were, do you remember what the legal limit was? Like
it was under 5.
I think it's like 3.2%.
Wow. It's a very that low?
I think so.
Because I remember Lagunitas made one specifically to sell in Utah.
Dude, a lot of people do like macro brew, like there were Coronas and Coors and all that, which was specifically at the ABV level that was allowed. In Utah.
That's wild.
But they also would have like, you know, like I felt like they were government regulated, like guns to pour liquor out of, and once it hit like an ounce, it's done, and like they legally can't give you another or something. So it's crazy to me, because that was probably in 2018, right around when this brewery came about, and I don't know the logistics of what it is to brew there and then sell it in cans. I know our friend Brian was saying something about this, mm-hmm. But he showed up late to that bottle share, and we had a beer or two. Mm-hmm. But so I don't know. I'm fascinated by kind of on like an American level, like how it's this own little ecosystem of laws in Utah.
Yeah. Well,
most of them religious laws.
Yeah. A lot of states are weird like that.
I guess
like
that's
the state ran liquor stores up in Washington. That's so weird.
Oh,
to me.
Yeah, dude.
Remember that?
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of those things that have happened in American history that is so, what feels to be like so crucial to like the backbone of the American spirit. Like if there's any laws that people will get upset about, it's like guns mm-hmm. and like this. Mm-hmm. And it just seems crazy to me that like a state would be like, no, you can't have stronger beers. And people are like, all right.
Yeah.
It seems like they'd be like, hang on.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Do you know this is America, right?
Yeah. Keep your laws out of my brewery.
Yeah.
Government.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. Either way, this is a super good beer. Far better than anything I've had from Utah. Far better than anything I've had this week.
Yeah.
It's Wednesday. So I haven't been drinking a ton, but still a decent beer.
There you go.
You want to be ready to give it an out of 10 Johnny Summers?
Yeah, this is a killer beer. Big fan. Would buy again. Would drink again. Would actively seek out. It's like an 8.2.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really good beer. It's a great rating, by the way.
Thank you.
8.2. I've got nothing wrong with it. I'm sticking by what I said, which is like there's nothing super new and exciting for me. And in that situation, most of the time the ceiling's going to be about an 8,
yeah.
Which is what this is. There's nothing wrong with it. I really enjoy it. Same thing you just said, I would happily drink it again. I'm very grateful to Brian for bringing these back.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to try the second beer when the time comes in our show today.
Heck yeah, man.
Am I missing anything that you want to talk about with this?
You know, it reminds me of Ennegrin, the way that they do very traditional
high praise
styles. In just a way that is so clean and well executed. Like,
yeah,
it's not a trendy or hip style, but it is becoming that now. You know, you're seeing kind of a lager trend,
yep.
But it's something that's been around forever that just when done properly can have a big impact and gravitate people towards your brewery. So as a flagship, this is a fantastic beer.
Once again, you're listening to Fresh Hop Cinema, possibly on KZFR 90.1 FM. If you've tried anything from TF Brewing and you, for some reason, couldn't agree or disagree more with our evaluations, please get in touch. Let us know. Like Johnny said, you can leave a voicemail or send a text to 530-433-0839. We do love feedback. Again, our cell phone number, 530-433-0839. And if you like the show, help us out. Please leave us a 5-star rating and a review on Apple Podcasts.
Yeah, listener, you do that. It takes only a couple seconds, and it is by far one of the most effective ways to help us get our show in front of new potential listeners like you were at one point. Mm-hmm. Incoming is a trailer for Roadhouse, the 2024 edition, so don't go anywhere.
Before we start, do you have insurance?
What?
Your coverage good? Like, you have dental?
Oh, haha.
Is there a hospital nearby? Is it, like, too far?
About, like, 25 minutes, I'd say.
I just slapped you. Are you all right?
What?
So you like to fight. You ever win?
No one ever wins a fight.
This ain't the Holiday Inn, pal.
I'm moving.
A friend of mine suggested I come talk to you. I own a roadhouse out in the Florida Keys. Lately, it's been attracting the wrong clientele. I can pay you good money. Judging by your car, you need that.
Well, I like my car.
Think about it.
I know who you are. Elwood Dalton, big fan, man.
That guy's got a knife under his shirt. You just take a big step back and pop me in the face. You can do it.
Tell me about this fountain.
Yeah, it's all nice, like he's Mr. Rogers or something, but then he'll haul off. Really interesting guy, overall.
Brand wants to take the roadhouse away from me. He wants to build some resort.
I should warn you, people have a certain way of getting things done around here.
Hey, fellas. Looks like you're having a smashing night. Dalton! I got a tip for you. Don't let no one get this close. Come on, bro.
Let me guess. You know, threaten me. Tell me to get out of town.
I get the impression that you can't be threatened.
Once Knox is on the job, it's over, baby.
It takes a lot to get me angry, but when I am, I just can't let go. People seem a little aggressive around here.
Is that one a friend of yours?
No, I just broke his arm.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to the radio waves of Fresh Hop Cinema on the radio waves of KZFR.
I like what you said better. You're listening to the radio waves of Fresh Hop Cinema.
Yeah, it's kind of catchy.
It's very good.
That might stick. If you're listening on the other radio waves of the KZFR's 90.1 FM, you're sadly going to be missing out on some solid gold that's available exclusively to podcast listeners. So if you'd like to hear the whole episode, you can go subscribe to Fresh Hop Cinema on Apple Podcasts or wherever quality podcasts are found. It's currently available for your streaming pleasure. So at the end of this, if you're just dying to know what we talk about this weekend, hot and bothered, go have a listen.
All right. Here's the Letterboxd one-liner followed by the Letterboxd synopsis for Roadhouse. Take it outside. That seems right. Ex-UFC fighter Dalton takes a job as a bouncer at a Florida Keys roadhouse only to discover that this paradise is not all it seems. A very simplistic synopsis for a fairly simplistic movie in terms of plot. This was directed by Doug Liman, written by Anthony Bagarazzi. And Charles Mondry stars, like I said, Jake Gyllenhaal as Dalton. Daniela Melchior shows up as a gal named Ellie. Conor McGregor makes his film debut, for better or for worse, as Knox, who is, we can go over who people are in a minute here. Billy Magnussen shows up as Ben Brandt. He's one of the big bads of the movie. And another person worth noting is Jessica Williams, who plays Frankie, and she owns the bar. This was released on Prime Video just a couple of days ago after premiering at South by Southwest earlier this month on the 8th. It's 2 hours and 1 minute long. It's a remake of an 89 movie starring Patrick Swayze at the height of arguably his career. And
peak Swayze.
His most, probably brutal, violent movie I think he's probably ever done.
Well, besides Dirty Dancing.
Yes. And that's the setup for this. I don't know. I was excited for it. Ever since it came out, I've been seeing people's reviews like, I just watched the new Roadhouse. Here's my advice. Watch the original first, then go to bed. Mm-hmm. It's sort of, and then some people are like, it's awesome. It's exactly what you want from this movie. I don't know how I feel totally. I'd like to know how you feel, Johnny Summers. What was this for you?
Okay. Well, I'll preface this all with, in preparation, I watched the first one. So watch that, let it sit for like a day or two, and then watched the new one. So I was very in the loop on all of the homages, the Easter eggs, the callbacks.
Okay.
A lot of the same lines, like verbatim, were used.
And was that good?
Yeah.
Was it fun?
Because
like
they pulled a lot of the best things out of the original and stuck them in there. But the new one, the 2024 edition, shocking that it took two humans to write this.
Yeah, you always like, say that when it's movies like this.
You needed help?
Right.
You needed help. So this movie, I mean, the real question going into something like this, is it going to be a good bad movie or is it going to be a terrible bad movie?
Yeah, for sure.
And this, it walks the line real hard for, I would say, 70% of the time.
Okay.
So I got like 70% bad movie and 30% fun, giggles, chuckle fest, silly goose time, good bad movie.
What does the percentage have to be for the overall to come out as a good bad movie? Because I feel like it's got to be more than 30-70.
Yeah, it's got to be like – it needs 40% good bad movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then it can be 60% just like atrocious. But if there's 40% of the movie where it's like, this is good bad, I think it qualifies. So I had a tough time with a lot of this. There was many roles in this that were really tough to watch. Like – Gyllenhaal tried his best to carry this movie, and he did a lot with what he was given.
Yes, he did. He always does.
Yeah. I mean, he makes a meal out of everything. He's a great actor.
Sure.
Probably one of the best legitimate actors ever to do kind of like a straight-to-video action movie. Like, this is a step down for him artistically. So it was – very curious to see what he did with that. And I think he did as good as he could. I think Conor McGregor cannot act to save his life.
It was rough.
It was atrocious.
What's up with his teeth?
He's got like some new, what are they called? The veneers.
Veneers, yeah.
Yeah, they were glowing. It was distracting.
It was bad.
Yeah, so distracting. There was just so many of the lines that were delivered in a way that it was just silly. And the plot was not even close to believable.
What is – can you like do a better job? Because I didn't do it justice. Like what is – I do think like I kind of summed it up, but
so
slightly more elaborate.
So let me get wrapped up my thoughts real quick and then we'll do a quick recap. It was rough.
Okay.
It was rough, man. Did I have fun watching it? Absolutely. I had moments of a lot of fun. The CGI fighting in this was god-awful. I hated every moment of that.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, you've got Jake Gyllenhaal juiced to the gills, just dripping testosterone supplementally from needle wounds.
Great.
And you've got Conor McGregor, who's an athlete, an MMA fighter. I thought maybe they would have some legitimate good combat action. Even if they're pulling punches, it's going to be practical. And like, no. CGI fist fighting was a new thing for me. So I hated that.
Okay.
I'm not going to go completely bad on it because there were fun moments, but it was, in my opinion, a bad, bad movie with 15 minutes total of maybe redeeming qualities and redeeming content.
Okay, out of 10.
It's like a 4.3.
Yeah, it sounds about right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not. So I've never seen the original.
Okay.
I kind of knew that it kind of what it was about only because I've been aware of the hype for this one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where the hype came from. It might just be in my brain. I was like, oh, Jake Gyllenhaal.
And, no, it was and getting like, hype.
It was,
it
right?
It was well advertised and a lot of internet buzz.
Maybe a couple disclaimers, though. In this case, I feel like they're evidence for why I should have liked it more. For sure watched this drunk after a show kind of late at night. So like some of the plot feels fuzzy in my brain.
No, it was fuzzy.
It's a fuzzy plot. It's like, I want to say that, but like, whatever, in case anybody's like, you didn't give it a fair shot. It's like, I think I did. I think that's the way you watch it. Like, this is definitely a couple cocktails kind of movie.
Mm-hmm.
Jake Gyllenhaal's great. I'll watch him in anything. I love when he goes over the top. Like, his performance in Okja is like one of my favorite things ever, or different, but still extreme in like Nightcrawler.
Mm.
He's great in that.
Yep.
He's pretty fantastic in most things. He was not great in Guy Ritchie's The Covenant, which I blame on Guy Ritchie.
Mm.
But there is an overlap in the performance of that movie and this movie, particularly when he has his monologue about being the man who never sleeps. Like, mm-hmm. that's the energy he brings here. Plus, like, his charming kind of one-liner charisma, which doesn't always work. Didn't hear.
Yeah.
I agree. Conor McGregor sucks. I read a headline where he's been paid the highest salary or highest check of any first-time actor ever. And I didn't fact-check that, but I get it. Like that's the hype of the movie. It's like you're going to wait for these two dudes to beat the crap out of each other.
Yeah.
I was also let down by that fight when it happened. Mm-hmm. I was let down by a lot of the fights. Mm-hmm. I don't know. A lot of the comedy wasn't there. It was a bummer.
Yeah.
Not even a bummer. It was just like all right, more of this. So yeah, for me, it's like a 3.
Yeah.
It's not, definitely not a good movie. Definitely not a good bad movie. I think it's just a bad movie. And that's how I'm coming down on Roadhouse.
That's a completely fair take.
So what is the plot of this movie?
All right. So more or less. Essentially, Jake Gyllenhaal, kind of a disgraced UFC fighter. We don't know exactly why, but he's doing some...
We get mysterious flashbacks where we kind of figure it out.
The beginning, you know, like I'm doing a loose, no spoiler plot summary. So he's doing some road work in like various underground fighting leagues where he just kind of shows up and wins by reputation and leaves. Gets hired by Jessica Williams. Her character, Frankie, owns a bar, offers to pay him a bunch of money, comes down there for a month, make 20 grand, whip this place into shape, be a bouncer. You're big, you're scary. Come help me get this bar in order.
Sure.
What she doesn't tell him is that Ben Brandt, played by Billy Magnuson, is the son of some sort of real estate, like
tycoon,
titan of industry who is in prison. And him being the son absorbed all of his father's debts and his business ventures. They're trying to make a resort. And the only thing standing in the way, the last holdout, is the owner.
Is the Dutton Ranch on Yellowstone. It's the thing. It's the same thing, isn't
kinda,
it? Like, I'm just watching that show still. It's like, that sounds like the plot to Yellowstone in like every season. Like, somebody wants to build a resort on our property. It's like, not on my watches of my horse.
Yeah.
That's my
Kevin direct quote.
Costner. Yeah.
100%. But yeah, Frankie is the last holdout. And that is not revealed to Dalton. So, you know, some chaos ensues and the stakes get kind of like higher and higher a little bit. They try and make them go there. And that's the big conflict.
Yep.
It's the evil developer businessman versus the small black business owner.
Right. How does that relate or not relate, but how does it compare to the original? Is it like a similar plot? It must be similar.
Yeah. In the first one, Dalton was a known bouncer. He was, there was no UFC fighting or anything. He was just notorious for being an amazing bouncer and kind of almost like a bar manager.
I see.
And he gets hired to whip this roadhouse into shape. And the owner basically gives him control over the whole bar, the staff, the bartending, the bouncers, everything. And then the issue is basically the same. This guy's developing this kind of backwoods podunk town and throwing money into it and wanting it to grow and develop. But he's also like taking money like the mob would for like protection you know, he's taking points on all their profits.
Right.
But he's in the original, he was calling it like, community development fund. So basically he's scamming an entire town and he's super wealthy and lives in a giant mansion and, has all the cops in his pocket, kind of like this one. So very
feels like Sopranos, kind of.
A little.
Are you still watching that?
Oh, yeah.
Great.
Yeah. No, some very parallel plot ideas in both the first and the new one. Just kind of different chess pieces on the board. Well, we'll call this checkers.
Yeah. That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Very similar, but yeah.
All right.
Just different enough.
You like the first one?
It was good. I just rewatched it. It's not like it's a good movie either.
But is it a good?
It's a good, bad
good,
movie.
Good, bad movie?
Yeah. It is. It's
okay.
Reminds me of, I mean, it's in that same vein as like, you know, different, but Rambo, like that whole idea of like the late 80s, early 90s action movies. Mm-hmm. It fits well in that pantheon.
Dude, I'm a sucker for like, and I think most people are, which is why people go to see these movies, like an underdog protecting a small town or a family or like whatever it is. Did you see that movie, Walking Tall?
Yeah, with The Rock.
With The Rock and the guy with the blue eyes who I should know.
Yeah.
Great movie. Mm-hmm. He like comes back to his hometown and after and find like it's been taken over by a casino guy who like wants to give drugs to whatever, who cares?
Yeah.
But you're rooting for him the whole time.
Yeah.
It's that vibe.
Yeah.
I just don't understand how they ruined it so badly in this one because I was not invested.
No.
Really at all.
I mean, it was a lot of the writing and the plot and it just wasn't believable. Also, big, big issue for me. That bar did not feel sketchy. The clientele did not feel dangerous. It was like this.
It felt like a
tropical resort,
like
tourist trap.
Yeah,
where there's just these violent, murderous, all-out brawls, like
yeah,
multiple times every evening. That made no sense to me.
The original had a band as well.
Yeah.
That played behind like a chain link fence or whatever.
Chicken wire, yeah.
I like when the band just keeps playing no matter what. And it, which actually makes sense if this does happen all the time. They're like, here we go again, another fight. But yeah, I don't buy it. Like the whole setting didn't feel menacing or threatening at all or sketchy or anything. It was just like, yeah, all right, I guess.
Yeah. I think we took a brief intermission just to grab like some water or something about halfway through. And I'm like, that bar feels like not that dangerous.
Yeah, like, kick your shoes off. Come hang out. Like, there's nothing wrong here.
Yeah. Like, oh, there's a fight. Just go walk down by the beach and sit in the sand. Yeah. Like, what are we doing? So that took me out of it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, a lot of the stuff was wrong. They also, there's no stakes because of the jokes they end up putting in here too. Like, it all feels very, perhaps like homage-y to the original.
Homage-y and an attempt at being self-aware, but then that detracted from the, any stakes and any credibility of this movie.
It's a risky thing to do.
Yeah.
It almost never works.
No.
Didn't work in Matrix to me. I didn't think it worked.
Okay.
You know, the Resurrections, Resurgence, a lot. What's it called? The new Resurrections.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't like that movie one bit.
Yeah.
I am ready to not talk about this without spoiling it anymore, as long as you are, because there's some stuff we can spoil, I'm sure, but
yeah.
You feel good about doing that?
Yeah.
Okay. Once again, you've been listening to Fresh Hop Cinema, possibly KZFR 90.1 FM. If you have thoughts on anything we've discussed on the show today, like maybe you've seen Roadhouse and you think it's the best movie ever made and we are just two idiots who don't get it, don't tell us that. Don't get in touch. If you're anybody else, you can call or text us at 530-433-0839 or send a good old-fashioned email to fhccast@gmail.com. When we come back, we'll be discussing Roadhouse with spoilers. So if you haven't seen it yet, consider this your second-to-last warning, because we'll be right back. Don't touch that dial. Here comes the danger zone.
Danger zone.
Danger zone. Danger zone.
Danger zone.
Danger zone.
Danger zone.
Danger zone. Danger zone.
Welcome to the danger zone.
It was wild when this turned into a total art film at the end and just that metaphorical ending.
Sure. Man. It's hard. Dude, did you, I just caught this today because I wanted to rewatch like the last 20 minutes to get back in the zone.
Okay.
For this. And there's a post credit.
Oh really?
Thing. Yeah. Oh. Do you want to guess what it could possibly be? And I can help you get there if you want.
But I'm going to say it's a teaser for a sequel.
That's true.
Okay.
Kind of, but it's not like a clip from the next movie. Keep going.
It's a clip of Post Malone and Dalton in a Cadillac convertible.
No, but there is a Post Malone song in the credits.
Okay.
But no, it is a character from the movie that we see again.
Okay.
Who isn't actually dead.
The doctor.
Who?
Wait.
What?
No, the doctor never died.
What doctor?
The lady doctor who was his love interest.
She was a doctor?
Yeah.
Who? Ellie?
She met her in the hospital.
I don't remember that at all.
Oh my God.
No, but it did take place in a hospital, the final scene.
Oh, so it's obviously Knox.
Yeah, it's Knox. He comes out and you just see like these two hospital swinging doors and then just you
did
hear.
Did he walk out naked again?
No, but okay. You just hear mayhem and he beats the crap out of everybody in the hospital and then like comes through the doors and is like, ha ha ha, with his teeth. And then it cuts to black and then whatever.
All right.
So he's alive, which is insane because he was stabbed.
So many times.
I mean.
Like one, two, three, four.
Like six?
Yeah.
Six or seven times?
Yeah.
I don't know. And like two of them are like. Here,
right through the collarbone.
I don't know. It reminded me of that scene from the old X-Men movies where, like, X2, mm-hmm. I think, where Wolverine has to go and it's like when Magneto's trying to like rally because they have the vaccine. The humans are like, we're gonna vaccinate all the whatever. And there's the guy guarding the forest and he goes whoosh, whoosh, and he's like pulling. Do you remember this? Pulls spikes out of his,
yeah,
he chucks them.
That's right.
That's what those stabs reminded me of.
Yeah, I could see that.
Doesn't matter, but that is what I thought of.
I love that. Wild. So they're going to try and make a sequel.
Yeah, for sure. You said there's about 15 minutes of this movie or 15% that you enjoyed. What did you like about this?
I mean, a lot of Gyllenhaal's stuff, like when it was just him or him with one other person, when he was actually able to act a little bit, like he's an endearing character. Like he was as shallow as a puddle. But like, at least he was enjoyable to watch act. I really liked the one member of the kind of quasi biker gang that was just kind of along for the ride that like didn't want to get hurt or
that
fight.
That was funny for a minute. Like, it was, but then it kept, that was his whole thing.
Yeah.
Cause it kept popping up, right?
Yeah. But if it's the only joke in the movie that works, you have to just grab hold of it and enjoy it while you're getting it. Cause you had to watch the whole thing for this podcast that you do.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I did think if the joke where, where Conor McGregor says, looks like we have our own octagon. And Gyllenhaal's like, who taught you shapes? Like, yeah. If that hadn't been spoiled in the trailer so many times, I think that would have been funny to me.
Yeah, that got a little chuckle because I didn't watch any trailers.
Yeah, it's like a funny joke. Like, yeah.
Yeah, some of their banter was funny, but again, it just took me out of it. It was just, cheese.
What
did
he say when he hit him with his car? Like, he said, like, I hit you in my car, and he was like, you're a bad driver or something like
that? Yeah, something like that. Wrong side of the road.
Yeah, right. It's like, you're a bad driver. It's like, got him. Yeah, okay. Can we talk about that final fight?
Yeah.
So, decent fight choreography, I thought, for a minute. But it got very, like, like CGI and insane. But I thought, I was hoping for better, like, I was hoping for more realism.
I know.
Coming from Conor McGregor's brain, maybe.
Yeah.
But he just seemed to lean into it for the most part.
Yeah. I think that's a lot to do with just direction and production.
Yes, maybe.
You know, like if they would have let him choreograph the fight. Again, though, every single fight in this is not how a real fight would go.
Yeah. In any way, shape, or form. It's a movie thing. Like, it's a movie, so fine. But also, I think it would have been better if it were a little, not better. Like, this is the thing. It's trying to be like the macho, whatever, like 80s thing.
Like, we're going to punch each other in the face with bare knuckles as hard as we can. 38 times. I'm going to have one cut on my lip and a little bit of a swollen eye. But like any human would for sure be mostly dead.
Yeah, I don't get that. I feel like there was maybe a time where Conor McGregor was probably like, this is not how it works.
Yeah, dude. This movie jumped the shark into like Mortal Kombat level combos with real human beings. Yeah. And you're like, no. But then they looked like Mortal Kombat characters because it was so heavily CGI'd.
That's absolutely true. Yeah. I don't want to see it again. I wouldn't recommend people watch it probably.
Yeah. No,
that's kind of where I'm at on Roadhouse.
Yeah. No, at the end I let out a big sigh and I said, well, that was definitely a movie.
Who's this movie for?
People that don't, now this is going to sound disparaging.
It's probably going to be because disparaging.
People that don't like to think, people that like, you know, about movies and like they don't,
at all.
No, you don't want to put too much thought into dissecting a metaphor in order to be entertained, right? Sure. People that want their entertainment at face value. Uh-huh. I would say a certain demographic that still enjoys or enjoys, even if they're young, perhaps professional wrestling, that type of audience. Like that is entertainment. I will admit that like that's definitely entertainment. Some of it's well written. Some of it's well choreographed.
Yeah.
But it requires no thought. You know what I'm saying? It is presented. Yes. It is what it is. There's no mysteries to figure out. So I think that's who it's for. It's people that just want to be served a movie on a platter, and that platter has, you know, chicken nuggets and, you know, a Mountain Dew.
You're describing like college guys.
Sure. I mean, I like chicken nuggets.
I do too, but you have to fit all the criteria, not just that one.
Maybe someone who owns more than one pair of those Pit Viper sunglasses.
So, okay, then I officially recommend we change the name for this in our conversation from Roadhouse to Broadhouse.
Broadhouse.
Do you accept?
Broadhouse. Yes.
All right. That's all I got on the movie.
I mean, I liked the newest Fast and the Furious movie 5 to 7 times.
Which
more
one was the new one?
Fast X.
Oh, with Jason Momoa?
Yeah.
I had similar problems.
It did, but such a better movie. Like in the realm of good bad movies, that was a fantastic terrible movie.
Yes. I don't know, dude, cuz that's not trying to be a bad movie, I don't think. This one at least was trying to be that thing.
Yeah. I think they are though. They went to Ludacris went to space in a Fiero.
Okay, maybe.
Like, I've jumped the shark so far.
I didn't see that one.
Yeah.
But I do know in this one they spent so much time trying to emotionally string us along to like get into the family thing, way more heavy-handed than anything else.
Yeah.
And it didn't feel self-aware or jokey. It felt like this is what matters it's picnics and Coronas and barbecues and
Well, Max, that is what matters.
I know, that's fine, but like don't do the Jason Momoa thing where he just keeps going, "Yeah, like what is that?" Yeah, and like how many times do you get away with that in one movie before we as the audience are just like, "Oh my lord, I get it, dude."
I do that in real life sometimes.
It's a baller move.
Just Jason Momoa.
Yeah, especially if you own it and reference it. But like, it even feels like it's like a power move. Like, yeah.
Especially when he's doing it right underneath the statue of Jesus in Brazil.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Yeah.
This movie was tough.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree that I like Fast X more though.
Yeah.
But for different reasons.
That's fair.
Should we get another beer? You want to do that?
That sounds like way better to talk about.
Okay, spoilers for this movie are now officially done. I don't know why we don't ever say that. I guess it's because we put a timeline so people can just jump around. So whatever.
Well, when we're done talking about the movie, I guess people should assume we're done talking about the movie.
That's true. Yeah, you're right.
It's okay.
All right, we'll be right back with beer. Don't go anywhere.
Sup, dude? You like squirrels?
That's good a transition as any. Sure, man. Actually, I do have a... Can I tell you something? There's... right out the window behind me. You can't quite see it from where you're at, but our dog chased a squirrel up a tree.
Okay.
Like, you know, Mark Twain novel style.
Tree to squirrel.
Sure. Yeah.
That's what they call that.
I thought you said... I thought you said tree... Tree to squirrel. Come in, come squirrel. In, that's what I thought you were
saying.
Come
in, squirrel.
No, so I just heard him barking, and he climbed like, damn, I wish you could see it. Probably like a 40-foot tall tree, like this oak tree.
Your dog?
No, the squirrel.
Okay.
My dog was there barking. The squirrel at this point is safe.
Yeah.
But he apparently doesn't know that because I come out just in time to see the squirrel just free dive off the thing.
What?
And like hits the concrete hard, like sounded like a slap. And then just scamper away. But to the point, like, even my dog was like,
whoa, dude,
I don't know if I shouldn't be chasing. Like, this squirrel's rabid. Like, but then he chased him up another tree and the squirrel was fine. Like, I went out with I looked around. I think I had a machete. I was like, I'm gonna have to kill this squirrel. I thought it was going to be like injured and like limping away. And I was going to have to like, you know, which I'm not that guy. Like, I'm not good at that, but I would have had to done it.
Yeah.
And it just bounced. And it climbed another tree.
That's insane. They're resilient little
things. Why do you ask me about squirrels?
Because I was wondering if you would like to drink one with me.
If you will clarify, then probably.
Our second beer from TF Brewing out of Salt Lake City, Utah is called Squirrel. It's a juicy IPA is how it's described on their website. ABV is 6.5%. It hops are Amarillo, Eldorado, and Mosaic, and it was then dry hopped with the same three hops three times. Triple dry hopped, juicy, and tropical.
Mm.
The first juicy IPA recipe to come out of TF.
I'll give you a dollar if you can remember what TF stands for right now.
Tamil family?
I don't know. It doesn't sound right.
No.
I'll double check.
Tamril? Termal? Terminal? Temporal?
No.
Temporal lobe?
No.
I don't Templin. Know. Templin. I was close.
You were very close, but no cigar.
Yeah. Templin family. The first juicy IPA recipe to come out of TF, named after Squirrel Murphy. To remind the Templins of their ski bum days, it brings you a blast of tropical aromatics with a citrus finish. It is so good. Awards, a lot shorter list,
okay.
But it won the 2023 World Beer Cup in its style.
What do you think Squirrel Murphy is?
It's got to be like a famous ski bum of some sort, or somebody from a song or pop culture of some sort.
Yeah, it could be. I don't totally know. There's a Facebook page for Squirrel Murphy, which is, I think, a band that has 838 followers. I don't think it's probably that. There's a place called Squirrel Murphy's. That's a bar in Warminster, Pennsylvania. I don't think it's that either. So I don't know what it is. But I was hoping to have more information. And I really, after I didn't get any more information, I really hoped that you had known what it was. And you
no
don't.
Clue.
And we are all closer to death now because of that. So yep. I apologize.
It's okay.
But we do have the beer.
Yeah.
I see your eyes shooting back and forth like you're finding something. Are you finding anything?
We got to call the brewery or something because I don't want to spend too much time digging.
Deal. There was a fella named Chief GL Squirrel Murphy, and this is his obituary. So he passed away on December 19th, 2012. I doubt that that's what that is, but just in case, RIP, sir.
RIP.
All right. What do you think of the beer?
Yeah, this is definitely going to be more of a your style of beer. Just looking at it, it is pillowy, very light yellow, almost a whitish yellow, it's like super, super hopped, very, very dry hopped. So just tons of juice, lots of body, decent amount of bitterness, but it's got that really sweet backbone, which is completely to be expected. I think it has a ton of those tropical notes. It makes me salivate. I like that. It's a little bit mouthwatering.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's bitterness too.
Yeah.
Like a fair bit, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Do you not like it at all? Uh-uh. You're just thinking it's more my speed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right. I dig it. It's actually a little bit, it's got the musty quality that some hazy beers do that I don't totally love.
Mm-hmm.
In my early days of trying to put words to taste, I would have called something like this vacuum bag adjacent. Mm-hmm. And I still stand by that. I just, it's got a musty quality that reminds one of the inside of maybe what licking a vacuum bag would be like.
That's fair.
In a good way.
Yeah. I think we've narrowed that down to the Amarillo hop. You are notoriously not a fan of the Amarillo hop. It's too earthy, too musty, too dusty.
Yeah, maybe, dude. I'm not a fan of like El Dorado hop. What did you say is in this?
Amarillo, El Dorado, and Mosaic.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I love Mosaic. I would make the case that there's not a ton of Mosaic coming through here. Yeah, Amarillo, El Dorado. Yeah, not my go-tos for sure. What's another one that I don't like?
Really, the only one that comes to mind as far as you just, I know you don't like that is Amarillo. Yep. But no, any of them that kind of lean towards being more earthy, herbaceous.
Yes.
They just burped herbaceous.
Man, there's another one that always really, I don't think it's Idaho 7, but it's
some it of might those, be.
I don't like that one, but it's not quite as like passionate as I feel about the one that I can't think of. But either way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So those are some of the flavors I'm picking up here that I'm not a huge fan of, but it's okay so far.
Yeah. It's got a decent balance. I don't hate it. I think it's a pretty good version of this style. If you like it, I like the amount of hops that it has and the presence of it. And I personally love Amarillo hops. It's one of my favorite. There's been a few beers throughout history that have been single hopped with Amarillo.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember really liking them and I gravitate towards them. I've bought a couple 6-packs of beers over the last 10, 15 years that featured that exclusively. So definitely the opposite end of that spectrum for me.
Yeah. What's interesting here is that it's because of that hop, which I think the hop is elevating it for you beyond what you would normally like for the style. And it's bringing it down for me. Yeah. So I think we're going to have a very similar rating if I were to guess.
Yeah.
I'm pretty close to what I think I'm going to rate it. But it's too soon to move on for me. I think there's more we can talk about.
Definitely.
Maybe we start with the can design.
It's really cute.
It's a very cute can.
It's very like 1970s shag carpet.
Oh, yeah. It's got the color scheme going of that horrible scene from A Clockwork Orange, that living room, you know?
Yep.
For podcast listeners.
I had orange shag carpet in my house growing up.
Did you really? Yeah, probably. Tells people how old you are.
It's hideous.
This was also, we didn't say this on the first one, but this was canned on February 29th.
Nice.
Which is, for us, just under a month old.
Yeah.
Pretty great. White can, red label with, maybe locals will know this more than anybody else, but we have an Asian, that's not right. What is Mamona? What kind of food is that?
It's Asian fusion.
Asian fusion?
Yeah.
Well, it looks like the way they write Mamona.
Yeah.
Is how the label looks here.
Totally.
With a sort of rainbow of red and orange and yellow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a nice color palette.
Can.
I like it. It's very eye-catching.
Totally is.
It's got enough going on to be eye-catching, but it's simple enough to not be overstimulating. Mm-hmm. That's a beautiful balance. It's
hard one to strike,
for sure. So many craft breweries are like, put glitter on it. Like, just everything.
I don't know if people – well, I could find out.
There's some
glittery
cans.
If people can see your design, you have one on your table, and not everybody's going to be able to see this, but
– the Macrodose?
No.
Oh.
This one.
Yeah.
Really drives me crazy.
I love that.
It's from Nightmare Brewing, and that one has everything going on. Mm-hmm. Maybe not glitter, but it's absurd how much is going on. It's stark comparison to what's going on with our can today.
Exactly.
Yeah, I love when a can be subtle and let the liquid speak for itself.
Totally. Brewbelt does that. They have really great –
totally.
Can art, very totally cohesive. Do. All their beers, the Tamriel?
To be honest with you, I don't remember either. Templin?
Okay. Templin.
Templin, I think.
The Templin Family Brewery. I bet all of their cans look fantastic on a shelf next to each other. You get some amazing billboarding out of these. Whoops.
Yeah. Yeah, probably. I mean, there's kind of our wide shot again. They can only sort of hold those up next to each other, kind of in the middle of us here.
Yeah, those are some good looking cans.
Let's see.
Yeah. I like those cans.
Yeah, they look great, dude. They're super fun.
Yeah.
I actually like that they have the colors inverted like that.
Yeah.
It's really lovely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, the flavor's fine.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's hop profile.
It's really being drugged down by a musty weight that feels, a bit like an overripe fruit situation going on. And it just, almost every time I get a hazy IPA that has that musty, overripe quality, it fights with the brightness that I almost do taste, but certainly want to imagine being there.
Yeah. And it's the brightness is definitely there, but it's fighting very hard against that hop profile.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I like the earthy musty, but when you combine that with juice, it, like you just said, it does have a tendency to kind of taste like just old fruit.
Yeah. Time and a place, I suppose.
Yeah. And you have enough of a sample size, you definitely give certain hops either preferential or detrimental treatment.
Yes.
And I think the Amarillo's killing it for you in a negative, and it's killing it for me in a positive.
Sure. Do you have your rating out of 10 for this thing?
Yeah. I'm honestly really liking it. I think it's a super solid, juicy IPA. If I had to drink one, this would be close to the top of the list. It's a 7.9.
Whoa, man.
Yeah. This is one of my most liked juicy IPAs I've had in a while.
I mean, that is a good score, dude. It's almost an 8.
Yeah, I like it.
For those that don't know how to count, I don't know why I said it like it was a revelation. It's almost an 8.
Well, 8's a huge score.
8's a huge score.
A pivotal number on this show. If you're above an 8, you're world class. And this is right there.
Well, for me, it's a 6. It's fine. It's good. It's a good beer. I'm really kind of caught off. I thought we were going to be a lot closer in this, but we
aren't. I like it. I like it quite a bit. I really love that it's not too heavy on the palate. It's got this really nice light body.
It feels so heavy to me.
I'm not getting that. I'm getting a lot more of that brightness than I think you are.
I'm going to take one more tiny sip. Yeah.
No, drink a big sip.
I'm not going to do that. Sip, no, nice dude. I'm going to take one tiny sip.
It's not going to work. All right, you tiny little sipper.
No, it's too heavy. It's too heavy for me. It's too heavy. It's too musty. It's too much. I do like it. I'm harping on these facts because they're what's keeping it from being amazing, but it's good. You know, there's a little bubblegum thing going on right at the end there. And I'm speaking beer reviewer speak right now, not actual, you know. There's like a hint of like a Hubba Bubba bubblicious kind of
unflavored, or we got a fruited.
No, I'm talking OG. Just pink, the pink kind.
Okay.
Do you remember the tape bubblegum?
Oh, yeah. Fruit by the Foot.
No, that's its own thing.
Oh, Bubblicious did that too, didn't they?
Or was it
Bubble Tape?
Bubble Tape sounds right, but that also sounds like a packaging material.
Right?
There was
Bubble Wrap.
That's Bubble Wrap. That's true. But there was like Hubba Bubba Max.
Yeah.
There was Bubblicious. Mm-hmm. There was like, what's the Bazooka?
Bazooka.
Bazooka with the chant or the song or whatever. But there was the tape. There was like the, you know, it's like the plastic thing that looks like a Pac-Man.
Like a tape measure.
And it's like dusty.
Oh, yeah.
It's like dusty gum that comes out and you chew it for 90 seconds and then it's lost all of its flavor.
Oh, yeah. If that.
What's it called?
Hubba Bubba Bubble Tape.
Hubba Bubba Bubble Tape.
Yep.
That's awesome. That's an incredible thing. Do they still make it?
They make it. You can order it right now.
Do it.
They have it at Safeway for $1.69.
It's still at the grocery stores?
Yeah. I'm going to bring you some Hubba Bubba Bubble Tape.
Put it on the account.
Oh, yeah.
That's an expense for sure.
Yep. $1.69. And if we can find the grape Hubba Bubba Bubble Tape.
Dude, I got down on the grape Hubba Bubba Bubble Tape.
It's so fun to say.
It was so good.
Why is that so fun to say?
Why is it so fun to chew is what I'm saying.
All right. Dude, grape overall.
Say the full name, please, when you say it.
No, it's not just Hubba Bubba. Or Hubba Bubba Bubble Tape.
It's
also the fruit by the, not the fruit by the foot.
It's not fruit by the foot.
What was the other one?
Zebra. Fruit roll-ups.
No. There's a couple.
Fruit snacks.
Maybe it was Hubba Bubba Grape.
Hubba Bubba Bubble Tape Grape? Excuse me, if I may. Hubba Bubba Bubble Grape?
Hubba Bubba Bubble Grape.
I don't know.
I don't know. I like grape-flavored gum. And the Hubba Bubba Grape was always solid.
Well, so there's also like the gum, and I think this was Hubba Bubba Max. Now it's starting to get like the semantic association thing, right? I'm not even sure if I'm saying a real word.
Right.
But there's the one where it had like, you know, it's like a brick, right? And on the inside, it's a smaller, different color brick because it's a different flavor.
Okay.
You don't know what I'm talking about?
Of gum?
Yeah. Like it's like Hubba Bubba Max, I think.
No, I don't think I ever had that.
Google Hubba Bubba Max real quick. Okay. Would you mind?
Yeah.
Great. Yeah, it was like. And they were like sour ones too. So, and they come individually wrapped. So you'd like, you'd take off the paper and then that would be.
Oh, yeah.
Is it right?
Yeah. There's like a, it doesn't look like gum. It almost looks like filling, like a heart, like a. Like
yeah,
a,
but that's the thing, guy. It's not. Ooh. It's more gum.
Bro, they make a Hubba Bubba sour with blue raspberry in the middle.
Yes. That's what I'm saying. They got sour ones going. And then it loses flavor after 90 seconds, but it doesn't matter because you can't taste anything.
It's a great 90 seconds.
It's awesome. It's the fastest gum, second only to the zebra gum.
Yeah, fruit by the foot.
No. Stop saying fruit by the foot.
That's not even. That's a gummy.
Okay, fruit by the foot.
It's a fruit roll up, right?
It's a fruit roll up.
Yeah. That stretches out.
No, wait, because fruit roll ups are.
They're rolled up and they go plastic.
And,
yeah.
But a fruit by the foot is the one you go, whoosh, like a whip, and it comes on wax paper.
Yeah, it was the Hubba Bubba bubble tape of gummy, of fruit,
of
snacks.
Of course.
Yeah.
But. No, what I'm talking about is the zebra gum where you and you put the tattoo on your
arm. Yeah, what's it called?
It's called zebra gum.
Just it's not.
Type zebra gum.
It's not zebra gum.
I would bet, I'll give you that dollar back right now if it's not zebra gum.
It's Fun Stripe.
It is Fun Stripe.
Yep.
I forgot.
Fruit Stripe.
Oh, Fruit Stripe.
Fruit Stripe.
That gum's flavor.
As soon as you took it out of the wrapper, flavor's gone.
I think it's like a Mission Impossible situation where you open it and it's like your flavor will self-destruct.
T-minus in six seconds.
Like you got good luck.
Yeah. You can buy this on eBay, like a vintage package of Fruit Stripe Zebra Gum for $50.
So they don't sell that anymore?
I don't know. I'm going to see.
I tell you what, the flavors on that gum were incredible.
For that brief moment it existed in your mouth?
The brightest stars burn the briefest, as we say.
Exactly.
Somebody might say that.
You said it.
I've said it. But I stole it kind of from a Middle Ditch and Schwartz thing.
I'm going to get you a vintage pack of Zebra Fruit Stripe gum.
Don't spend $50 on that. It's not worth it.
I found a 4-pack for $20.
It's still crazy. $5 for a pack of gum that tastes like nothing?
Yeah. There's a really cool vintage candy shop in Old Sacramento, and I have to be down in that area in the next couple of weeks. I'll see if they have Zebra of the Stripe.
Is it just the one? There's only one candy shop in Old Sac. Right?
No, there's a few, but there's one that's way bigger, and they've got the most varieties of saltwater taffy.
It's the open barrel taffy place. I don't think they have Fruit Fun Zebra Stripe gum, do they?
We'll find out. All right. At the very least, they've got Hubba Bubba Bubble Tape.
Do you think we have anybody listening from the brewery at this point?
I hope so.
I think we've lost.
I hope so.
Everyone. Do we actually need to talk about this beer anymore? I think we rated it.
I like this beer a lot. This is fantastic.
Let me get a little more. I'll see if all this talk of Hubba Bubba Bubble Tape has changed my mind.
No, that's a really good beer. It's not too sweet. I love that punchy hop presence. Very well balanced. To me, it's light on the palate. I like this beer a lot.
I'll give it a 7 instead of a 6. It's more fun now.
Thanks, Hubba Bubba.
Thank you, Hubba Bubba. You're my best friend. Moving on.
Let's get out of here.
Are we just in the hot and bothered? Is that where we're going?
We were leaving. Yeah, let's go.
We can leave too. Before we do, here's some housekeeping. Once again, if you're on the radio, I'm going to remind you, you've been listening to Fresh Hop Cinema.
Oh, that was on the radio.
No, it was, wasn't it?
Yes.
You're welcome, KZFR listeners. If you have feedback on anything we've discussed, like Hubba Bubba Bubble Tape or any, whatever your favorite fruity gum was, rather than minty, I was going to say rather than savory gum, living in a Willy Wonka world where it's like roast beef meal.
The meal gum? Yeah.
No, whatever your favorite fruit flavored gum was, let us know. I think there's a good chance it was Fruit Stripe Zebra Gum because I can't really think of any others.
Juicy Fruit.
Oh, Juicy Fruit. Don't get me. We don't have time. Don't get me started on Juicy Fruit. Let's see. If you got feedback on any of this, you can call us. You can text us. In fact, I'd prefer the text. Our number is 530-433-0839. Again, 530-433-0839. Or if you're on your computer, you like typing out your messages, send us an email, fhccast@gmail.com.
As a reminder to our radio listeners, if you want to hear the rest of today's conversation, which includes more talk of fruited gum, the always unpredictable Hot and Bothered segment, or if you want to just go digging through 7+ years worth of backlogged episodes going all the way back in time to 2016, head over to your favorite podcast app and subscribe to me and Max, Fresh Hop Cinema.
Yeah, we'll be back on the radio next Saturday as usual at 4 p.m. So until then, I don't know, drink some good movies, watch some good beers. And again, you know, if you enjoyed the show today, you can leave a tip for KZFR at kzfr.org. Please, no matter what you do, enjoy the rest of your weekend. And to those of you currently listening to our beautiful buttery voices in podcast form and blow on a big bubble of Hubba Bubba Double Bubble Bubble Tape, we'll be right back with Hot and Bothered.
Yourself a girl,
settled
down, live a simple life in a quiet town.
Steady as she goes. That's cool. I forgot about that.
It's a good jam.
It's a great jam.
Yeah.
Which is all to say, welcome to Hot and Bothered, where we do that before we. Oh, we did. I hit record right at the end there.
Sick. That goes out to Chris Gomez.
Why does that go out to Chris Gomez?
Because he's Jack White's biggest fan.
I think he gets enough shout-outs on this show, is what I think.
I'm talking shit. Now he hates Jack White.
Oh, yeah. That one goes out to Chris Gomez, though.
Exactly.
Shout-out, Chris.
Yeah.
I'm seeing him tomorrow.
Nice.
Cut my hairs.
Sweet. Tell him to give you the Jack White.
What would that be?
Depends on the album, like the year. He's gone through a bunch. He did have a similar like a business style kind of comb over part that you've gone in the past?
I have a business style comb over.
Yeah, that's what like the classic men's cut is kind of called.
Okay,
like
I'll just tell you this. A comb over is a very specific style of haircut / grooming technique.
Yeah, when you're bald.
When you're bald.
Yeah.
A comb over implies you are combing over the bald spot. I will tell you, I have never had a comb over.
Max is bald.
These are plugs. But I've had a I actually don't even know what to call it, what I've had.
Yeah, it's like a businessman's cut, like the traditional men's cut.
Sure.
Very like 1950s.
Sure.
You were rocking like the Brad Pitt Fury haircut for
I've
a while,
done an
too.
Undercut for I've in a
you look good
day
with
or
the
two.
Undercut.
I've got really thick hair, not to brag, but it like always falls down because it's so thick. So like, I can't get it to stay back.
You need like a ton of product and then it doesn't look right.
Yeah, like I can slick it back. Like I could do like a rockabilly like grease ball sort of thing, but I think that looks gross too. So
it's greaser. Grease ball's a little.
Is that a slang?
A little,
or is that a
little
slur?
Derivative.
Is it?
Derogatory.
Do you mean derogatory? Yeah. It's a little derivative of a derogatory slur. Yeah. For what, like an Italian person?
I mean, no, grease. I mean, maybe.
Greaseball? Yeah. I don't know.
Could be.
I don't mean it that way.
Yeah.
And everybody knows it is about intent.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Nice.
So, listen, we're not going to, well, maybe we'll save for that. We had a bar hang.
That was a blast last Friday.
I don't think we need to shout out individuals necessarily, except
you know you were there.
Right. I do want to shout out our friend Andy at SNS, who was not at the bar hang, but was kind enough to give us a discount on that beer.
No.
We paid full price for that?
Yeah.
Ah. Never mind. I take it back. Andy does not get a shout out. Then we can also give shout outs to our friends Brian, who came late.
Mm-hmm. And brought us these beers for the show
Correct.
This week.
And Ken.
Yep.
And at the last minute, bottom of the ninth, Belsky, who also threw in to help us cover that beer.
Yeah.
So to those of you who also got to try that beer, which was everybody there, you have us to thank and you have them to thank.
Yeah.
Us paid for that beer.
Yeah.
Very good. Not worth $75.
No.
I mean, right? Like, what's that beer? What's top dollar you think is fair for that beer?
$40.
I mean, even that's a lot.
Yeah. It is. It's the higher end you'd want to pay for a 375, but
yeah, it's like a tiny bottle.
So, I think it'd be worth it.
It's a good beer.
Yeah.
It had coconut, vanilla,
and multiple barrels.
12.5%, something like that.
It was 14.
It was 14.
Yeah, it was a big boy. 13.5, 14. Yeah, it was fun to try, and that is the appropriate scenario to do that when you have a bunch of people that can kick in on
absolutely
because $75 like for a 375, I could drink that to my dome in one glass, like. That's not even like a glass of beer.
What? It's like one glass of beer, isn't it? Isn't
it's just
like,
over. It's like 12.
Didn't we do this?
Yeah, it's like 12.5
ounces. It's like a
ounces.
Can of beer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's basically one Busch Light.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
But it was cool. It was a fun experience, and I'm glad we got to share it and enjoy it, and everyone got to check that off on their untapped list.
Yeah.
People that are into that.
I didn't.
Belsky was stoked.
She was.
I get to check into this beer. It's crazy.
Right. That was great.
Yeah.
We will have an April bar hang date once I get back from my tour, which I'm going on. I'm going on the road for a little bit here, so we're going to be off the air next week with new content. You can go back and listen to our other stuff, of course. I'll be gone I'm going down to Modesto on Saturday night after playing the Alpha Hop Society event at Sierra Nevada. And then I'll be back in Chico briefly, and then going up north, and I'll be back after that. Probably the following Monday. So we should be back on track after 1 week off.
Nice.
So that's that. And I will bring back some fun stuff from places. At least Single Hill Brewing, which I did last time. Mm-hmm. I'm playing there again, as well as Packwood Brewing.
Nice.
I'll bring you some stuff.
Very cool.
And probably from other places.
You know, I'm a 2X if they want to kick down some shirts because it's on YouTube now. So like it's good advertising.
That's a good point. Speaking of shirts, I've noticed as I've glanced over here that damn it,
because sticker
well because I got we got our new shirts in, man, like this week.
Yeah, it's exciting.
It was no it's still exciting. I don't even know if I'm gonna send it back.
Yeah, they don't want it back, just get a refund.
Yeah, maybe. So we got a couple of these. I got yours, got one for Ken, got one for Sherry. Shout outs to patrons, another perk of Patreon. That's all. I just have a rip in my shirt.
Yeah. There's a couple spots you got to go, like you said. If you're in Portland, you have time. Belmont Station, the classic bottle shop.
Right. I think I've been there before. I think when I first, not first went up to Portland, but when we first started the show, you told me to go there, and I think I did.
Yeah. That's a great shop.
Yeah. Okay. Very lastly for me this week, I mean, I had a Lord of the Rings viewing night.
Hell yes.
Where had a couple people over because Serena had never seen the entirety of the Fellowship or any of them.
Wow.
I know. So I'm going to show you.
It's cool. I don't like that movie.
Well, listen.
No, it's cool.
Listen.
It's cool.
I think you were busy.
It's cool.
And I think that because it was a feeling I had. But let me show you this real quick if I still have it.
Was we did the charcuterie boards and all that?
Yeah.
I saw your Instagram story.
Oh, you did? Yeah. Okay. Well, fine. All right.
Yeah, I was sitting there like eating, you know, saltines.
Ramen.
Eating saltine crackers. Being like, that looks like
that
fun.
Sure looks tasty. I made you a plate to go. I'll have it. We still have some. We have some dried fruits and breads. Super fun.
That's awesome.
Ended up being, yeah, it was, who, I mean, our friend Brian came. That would have been fun.
I know him.
And then Serena's sister and, her boyfriend. And then, a friend of ours from Serena's work. And then Serena's uncle stopped by briefly, but it was basically, yeah, like five or six of us for most of the night. It was a nice mellow,
sounds like a blast.
It was a Sunday evening. Pretty great time though.
Nice.
Long movie, director's cut, of course.
So that's three and a half,
three
four?
And a half. Yeah. Yeah. Three and a half basically. So that was great. That was my Sunday. And that was kind of the highlights of my weekend. I also played a show Saturday, but podcast related stuff, bar hang Friday, movies on Sunday. Pretty great.
I love it.
What else you got this week?
It's always great to rewatch those classics like that, man.
Yeah. I always look at that poster right behind you, that Lord of the Rings poster right there. I love that. It's such a good one.
It is. That would make a sweet tattoo.
Hmm.
You'd have to do it big to get the detail.
Yeah.
But like
straight across.
You should get that right
Gabe
on your
DeLeon
such
style.
A good ribs tattoo.
My rib is spoken for.
Oh, yeah?
This one's not.
There you go.
But you could, yeah.
Yeah.
Just get Gollum. Just get Gollum right there, just hunched over on his rack.
I want to get Gollum on my chest and an outline of the ring around my nipple.
Okay.
And so Gollum's just like
reaching for it or like holding it?
That's a tough call.
I think reaching for it would be better. Like the final shot of Return of the King where he's like
it's just up.
Yeah. In the lava and he's like trying to grab it.
Yeah.
But it's like him coming from like your belt line. Just like
and his belly button is my belly button.
Oh, yeah.
We could make that work.
You could actually split him 50-50 down the middle and have half be Gollum. Cause I've just now thought of the cinematographical symmetry here. There's the scene in the Fellowship where Frodo's at the Prancing Pony in Bree and he falls down and reaches up for the ring.
Yeah.
Very similar to when Gollum reaches for the ring also. And you could do half Frodo, half Gollum.
That'd be wild.
It'd be a pretty cool design.
It'd be pretty cool.
Do we have any artists that listen to this? They could mock that up for free. I'm hoping we can do it. I hope they. Who needs to pay tattoo artists for their time? You know? just draw me up something and we'll talk from there.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all I got this week. Do you want to tease beers when we get back?
Yeah. So next, in 2 weeks, I picked up some beers while I was down in Sacramento. We are going to be covering McElhenney Brewing out of Alpine, California. They were formerly Alpine Brewing.
Oh, is that what's going on?
Yep. They're back in the game.
An odd non-relatable name change they've made.
That's their family name.
I'm sure it is,
yeah.
But in terms of like marketability, they've just completely changed it.
Yeah. You would think Alpine maybe like highest peak or, you know, something mountainy.
You're saying McElhenney?
Yeah.
McElhenney?
McElhenney.
I might say McElhenney. Mick, because it's MC, right?
MC is always.
I think it's regionally specific. If it's a Scottish thing, then I think it's Mac. If it's like
Mac
an American
Gregor.
Fast food chain, I would say it's Mick.
McGregor.
McGregor. It's kind of how you say it, isn't it?
Yeah. In it.
McGregor. Yeah. Clan McCulloch. I don't know.
Oh,
What's the Highlander one? He got a Scottish name? He must.
Oh, what is the Highlander's name?
Couldn't tell you. But we can try to figure it out.
That's fine.
No, I want to know. McCloud.
It's McCloud.
McCloud. But it's McCloud, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not McCloud.
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 Yeah, who knows?
Well, they don't say it like that because you spit too much.
Yeah, fair enough.
So I'm stoked on those beers. We don't have the movie figured out yet, but we're going to do something cool. So
we'll do something.
Yeah.
I'm not going to make any guarantees.
It might be cool. It might suck. But it won't be Roadhouse.
It will not be Roadhouse. Neither the new one or the original.
Exactly.
Anything else this week, Johnny Summers?
No. Well, other than I like TF Brewing now.
Yeah, they're good.
Next time I'm passing through Salt Lake City, I will definitely pay them a visit.
And we encourage you to pay them a visit as well.
Yeah.
In the meantime, the show wouldn't be what it is without Bailey Minardi and her support. Of course, the support of everybody on Patreon in a much more tangible way. And then the Handlebar is pretty great too. Am I missing anything?
Our patrons.
That's what I said.
Oh, well, then no.
Okay, great. And without him, that's Johnny.
Yeah, that's Max. We see you guys next 2 weeks.
See you in 2 weeks.
Yeah, see, drive safe.
Thanks, dude. You drive a lot as well. You drive safe.
I will. Let's drive safe and reconnoiter.
Okay, we out.
Ready, break.
Report to set. We hope you enjoy.
This is Fresh Hop Cinema.